startled awake by the ammoniated mists. I am roused in one instant from glutinous sleep to grieving awareness. I have done it again. My soaked thighs sting. I cry. I call Mama, knowing I must endure her harsh reaction, get through that to be rescued. My crib is on the east wall of their room. Their bed is on the south wall. Mama! From her bed, she hushes me. Mama! She groans, rises, advances on me in her white nightgown. Her strong hands go to work. She strips me, strips the sheets, dumps my pajamas and the sheets and the rubber sheet under them in a pile on the floor. Her pendulous breasts shift about in the nightgown. I hear her whispered admonitions. In seconds, I am washed, powdered, clean clothed, and brought to secret smiles in the dark. I ride the young prince in her arms to their bed, and am welcomed between them in the blessed dry warmth between them. My father gives me a companionable pat and falls back to sleep with his hand on my shoulder. Soon they are both asleep. I smell their godlike odors, male, female. A moment later, as the faintest intimation of daylight appears as an outline of the window shade, I am wide awake, blissful, guarding my sleeping parents, the terrible night past me, the dear day about to dawn. These are my earliest memories. I liked, when morning came, to climb down from their bed and watch my parents. My father slept on his right arm, his legs straight, his hand coming over the pillow and bending at the wrist against the headboard. My mother lay curled, with the curve of her broad back touching his. Together under the covers, they made a pleasing shape. The headboard knocked against the wall as they stirred. It was Baroque in style, olive green, with a frieze of small pink flowers and dark green leaves along its fluted edges. On the opposite wall were the dresser and mirror of the same olive green and fluted edges. Sprays of the pink flowers were set above the oval brass drawer pulls. In my play, I liked to lift each handle and let it fall back to hear the clink. I understood the illusion of the flowers, looking at them, believing them, and then feeling the raised paint strokes with my fingertips. I had less fondness for the bedroom curtains of sheer white over the window shades and for the heavy draperies framing the curtains. I feared suffocation. I shied away from closets. The dark terrified me mostly because I wasn't sure it was breathable. I was an asthmatic child, allergic to everything. I was attacked continually in the lungs, coughing, wheezing, needing to be steamed over inhalators. I was the mournful prodigy of medicine. I knew the mustard plaster, the nose drop, the Argerol throat swab. I was plugged regularly with thermometers and soap water enemas. My mother believed pain was curative. If it didn't hurt, it was ineffective. I shouted and screamed and went down fighting. I argued for the cherry red mercurochrome for my scraped knees, and I got the detested iodine. How I howled. "Oh, stop the nonsense," my mother said, applicating me with strokes of searing pain. "Stop it this instant. You make a fuss over nothing." I had difficulty with the proportions of things and made reasonable spaces for myself in what otherwise was an unfairly giganticized home. I liked to sit in the shelter of the piano in the parlor. It was a Soma upright of black mahogany, and the cantilevered keyboard made a low-lying roof for me. I enjoyed the patterns of rugs. I was a familiar of oak flooring and the skirts of upholstered chairs. I went readily to my bath, in part because the tub was of reasonable dimensions. I could touch its sides. I sank walnut-shell boats in the tub. I swamped them in tidal waves, and then I quieted the water. I was also aware that for some reason my mother's relentless efficiency was suspended when I was in my bath. Other than calling into me from time to time to make sure I hadn't drowned, she left me in privacy. The pads of my fingers would wrinkle before I rose from the bathwater to unplug the drain. Of the wooden kitchen table and chairs, I made a fortress. Here I had surveillance of the whole vast kitchen floor. I knew people by their legs and feet. My mother's sturdy ankles and large, shapely calves moved about on the pinions of a pair of ladies' heeled shoes. From sink to icebox to table they went, accompanied by the administrative sounds of silverware clattering, drawers sliding open and shut. My mother took confident, solid steps that made the glass doors of the cabinets tremble.